This is cassette number two of a message by David Ebaugh entitled The Kingdom of God.
And how about his joy? Well, he sure doesn't show much joy until after the second cup of coffee. Because he was lascivious. He had an excess of staying up too late. Does that make sense to you? Do you see what I'm driving at? So what does he do? He loses his inheritance, which is the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy. Now, you don't mind my talking about Dave Ebaugh, but let me talk about you. Because you're the same way. If it's not with staying up too late, it's getting up too early. Or it's something, I don't know what it is. Or eating too much, or drinking too much, or beating the kids too often, or I don't know what it is. But it's excess. Oh, I know. I used to read the paper too much. Remember those days, Betty?
Yeah.
I'd sit down and I'd have to pick up a paper and I'd read every word in it from one end to the other, look at every page of it. Now, that was lascivious. That was excessive. I didn't have to do that. I did it to the exclusion of my family. Sat in that chair over there and, boy, I just loved to sit and read the paper and someone would come talk to me. I couldn't even talk to him. Well, I was reading the paper. Am I on anyone's toes? Have I hit anybody but me? Huh? Haven't hit you yet? She said I did. I'm trying to hit somebody here. I hope I hit. By the time we're finished here, we ought to hit everybody. Okay, idolatry. This is a funny word. It's E-I-D-O-L-O-L-A-T-R-E, which if you leave the E, it looks almost like idolatry in the Greek. And it's just plain worshiping things other than the true God. Now, I can remember the day, it isn't that way anymore, but when we worshiped the almighty dollar. And if it's not the dollar, you worship security. If it's not security, you worship something else, an idol. We said, oh, we'll be so happy if we can just carpet the house, if we can just get enough together to put carpet in the house, that'll bring peace and happiness in this home. I got somebody now, didn't I? Okay. Now, that sets up an idol because, really, where is our peace? Jesus Christ is my peace, not my carpet.
Oh, boy.
Is there anybody here who'd like to leave now? All right. I'm going to try to move on down here because I think you got the idea. Now, witchcraft is a funny word. For it's a I don't know how to say it. Pharmakia or pharmakia. Yeah. Now, this is the same thing as pharmacy or pharmacopoeia. In our English, we have a pharmacopoeia word, which is pharmacy. And witchcraft is to remedy using drugs. It's also a drugger or druggist. Now, one who uses drugs is involved in witchcraft, LSD, marijuana. The word witchcraft is in your Bible a number of times, which is a drugger or drug, and it's to lose reality with drugs. Well, I was going to try to stay off of penicillin and aspirin and what we'll call the legitimate drugstore items. I was going to try to pin it down to the bad drug type things because I got a problem with medicines. I might as well tell you. I was raised for 20 years in a church where if you took an aspirin, they made you feel like you were going to hell. I mean that. We felt so bad if we'd ever taken an aspirin. You see, then one day I found out in the Bible it says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Now that's Bible. I'm not making it up. That's what it says. Well, if a merry heart does good, a medicine does good too. It says, isn't there a balm in Gilead, which is a healing balm? And it says they're looking for a healing balm in Gilead. So all of a sudden, some of the preaching that I'd heard against, we'll say, aspirins and so forth, I had to readjust and give some of my weaker brethren the opportunity to take aspirins. You see where I'm driving at? Yeah. Yeah. We're not talking about that, though, but some people are. That's the problem. See, some people get the idea when we're talking about pharmakia, it's medicines. I'm talking about the use of drugs to avoid reality.
Heroin. Mm-hmm. Get high on it.
Yeah.
Heroin.
Yeah. That kind of a thing. Now, this may shock you. This may shock you. But I believe when an aspirin for a headache is one thing, but an upper or a downer is another. Now, I don't want to get too sticky on this, and if you need to take uppers and downers and that kind of thing, that's another thing. But I watch it because one is treating lack of peace. The other is treating pain. One balm is for a burn on the arm. The other is because you don't have peace because there's not quite enough of Jesus to give you peace or security or safety. You see what? Yeah.
The good Samaritan poured in oil, didn't he?
Yeah. Oil and wine. He poured wine. Of course, wine, you understand, is alcoholic and sterilizing.
I was told it's the fruit of the
vine.
Okay. I went to all those churches too. We only drank grape juice in our church. And they taught us that if we ever did drink a little wine at communion, we'd probably go to hell.
Timothy 5:23.
But what I'm trying to get at is the law of love will let a Pentecostal take communion in an Episcopalian church. Now let me say that again. The law of love will let a Pentecostal take wine in an Episcopalian communion service. Do you understand that? But the law that I was under would have walked out because they were serving poured it out of the wrong kind of bottle.
That's because of transubstantiation. Tell them what that is.
Well, I really don't want to get on that right now. Don't you headed me down the wrong road. It's a good road to follow, but it's
not really.
It's another road.
The changing of the wine to the blood of Christ.
Right. So if it is transubstantiated, who cares?
All right.
Yeah, I got to get going here. Hatred. Now this hatred is a word, E-C-H-T-H-R-A, which is enmity or an enemy or a foe. There's a base word. This base word over here, ektra, has another base which means your enemy or your foe. And in a general sense, at least in the Old Testament, and even now until Jesus finally moves in, when we find that we have an enemy or a foe, then the first thing that comes up is what? So we used to call them Japanazis, didn't we? Why? Because the Japs and the Nazis were our enemy. They're our foe. And they taught us on when we go to movies or when we pick up a newspaper to hate them. Hate the Nazi. Hate the Jap. You remember? Because they were an enemy. And they kept driving this into us to teach us to hate because they were the enemy. I mean, we weren't allowed to look at them as men and women and human beings, but we were supposed to think of them as enemies. That way it would give you, you know, your conscience would allow you to drop bombs on them because you hated them, see, because they were your enemy. And that was the only way that we could really swing the thing, is to teach hatred. But really, in the kingdom, you can't do that. And when you start hating and you start having enemies and foes, you find out you got hatred. It's just an automatic thing. With enemies and foes, then you got hatred. As soon as you get hated, what have you lost?
Righteousness,
your peace, and your joy. So you're thinking about your enemy. And it's gone. So what do you got? Your migraine. All back again. There.
Oh, there it comes again. All right, where'd that come from? Lord, heal me from the migraine.
Oh, no. Who brought that on? Well, you were thinking about what? An enemy, a foe. What'd it bring? Hatred. What'd you lose? Kingdom. You can see the kingdom because you're in 3:3. Remember John 3:3? You can see the kingdom. You're entering the kingdom because you're trying to be in John 3:5. Now, the washing of the water through the Spirit, the water of the Word through the Spirit, changing our attitudes so that now he's not an enemy, now he's not a foe, so I don't have to hate him. So my headache's gone. Praise God. And tell the truth. Isn't this the way it works? Isn't this the way it works in your own lives? What are we working on? Our heads, attitudes, emotions, intellect, will. Up here in head. That's where it all is. All right. Variance. EIS, which is contention, strife, quarreling.
Oh.
Now this may shock you, but quarreling is as bad as adultery.
Yeah.
All right now. Come on now. This is what I want you to see. When you commit a quarrel or a debate, you're losing your what? Righteousness, peace, joy. When you commit adultery, what do you lose? Your righteousness, your peace, and joy. This is a list for Christians. You say, you mean we can't even quarrel? Not if you want to keep righteousness, peace, and joy. Not if you want to have the kingdom. You can look at the kingdom in 3:3, have the blood washing for covering past sins, John 3:3. But if you're going to be in 3:5, you're going to have a washing of the water of the Word through the Spirit. Then you won't even quarrel or debate. Am I making sense to you? Do you see what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to hit every person here with the fact that the truth of the matter is the church is trying to enter the kingdom. But the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. So, in Romans 7, we find all these things fighting and warring against the Spirit. Now, what did he say? Who shall deliver me from this body of flesh? What did he say? I thank God through Jesus Christ. Who will deliver? Jesus Christ. What's he deliver you from? These works of the flesh. All this list. Now, various people are having various problems with various parts of this list. In general, we find more fault with some people than others according to which problem they're trying to overcome. But you know, as far as God is concerned, a sin's a sin. And once you're lost out, you still don't have your righteousness, peace, and joy. Even though if all you had was a little quarrel with the milkman. You talk sharp to the guy who, I have a lot of trouble with the gas cap on my car. And when they fill the car, there are two little ears that stick out of this cap, and it's got to be on all the way. And if they don't shove it on all the way, then gas pours out of the filler of my car. So I must, every time that one of the boys puts gas in the gas tank, then I say, did you check? Did it click twice? I have three or four sentences that I give these guys all the time. And you know I can still go back and click it myself after I've done it. Now, if I'm not careful, I'll lose my righteousness, peace, and joy. I might save the gas, but I'll lose the others. Am I making any points with you? Do you understand what I'm getting at?
We've... A degree,
huh?
I mean, a degree of sin that has deeper effects than others.
Oh, yeah, because a lot of sins are measured and the scars are left. The scars are left. But here's something I want you to see. Take the scar of a quarrel. It might mean a stroke. Now you say, oh, it was just a little quarrel. Yeah, it wasn't adultery. It was just a little quarrel. You know. But let's watch out, you holiness people. that little quarrel can leave a terrible scar of a stroke, paralyzed half your body. You see what I'm driving at? So we've got to be careful, although it's true that some of these things can leave us, I mean, like, for instance, murder. You mean to tell me that a quarrel is as bad as murder? Well, to make you lose your righteousness, peace, and joy, it sure is. If you're a murderer, you lose your righteousness, peace, and joy, right? If you have a quarrel, you lose your righteousness, peace, and joy. You might have a quarrel with your brother, and every time you think of the brother, it gets your pressure up. You know what I'm talking about? He did you dirt. Stole part of the inheritance. It was at the will, the reading of the will, or something like that, and he really tricked you. Now, I'm talking to, the reason I like to do this is I know I can get people because these are facts in a lot of lives. Now, what will this do? It'll stay with you. It'll stay with you longer than a murderer. For a murderer knows he did wrong. And assuming that he gets straightened out and asks forgiveness and seeks God, you see what I'm talking about, and gets straightened around in his life, he can get over that. But your quarrel with your brother will take you to the grave. And you say, well, I'm a Christian. I don't murder. Do you see what I'm trying to drive at? This is for your benefit, because the kingdom of God is for you. And if you can have the kingdom of God, you can live forever. There's going to be a generation, there's going to be a line remaining to the coming of the Lord. They're going to have the kingdom of God. They're not going to be doing these things. They're going to have perfect minds. They're going to put on the mind of Christ. They're going to conform to his own image. Okay? Let's go on here because it's... Oh, Lord. Okay. I can't take this list here. Emulations. Strife. You got the idea. I don't have to go through all this, do I? I mean, it's just the same thing. It goes on and on. Now, if we talk about foolishness, foolish talking, jesting. More fun. All right. Now, what's wrong with jesting? Jesting brings joy or ridicule at someone's expense, joy at someone else's expense. And what do you lose? You lose the joy that Jesus brought. You get a counterfeit for the joy. You see what I'm driving at? These are all counterfeits. Now, there are some jokes, but they're righteous jokes. They're in the Bible. But they have to do with righteousness and things that Jesus brought. They're jokes on the devil. It says God will laugh him to derision, laugh him to scorn. You know, some of these, but it's always against the devil, not against each other. All right, we can go on this, but I think you got the idea. Now, read me Hebrews 12:15, please. I just feel that we've got to move on, even though there's a whole lot more here. I suppose that a preacher could take and do a really good job of this. Well, you could preach for a long, long time on this list, and you could.
Diligently,
lest any man, fail of the grace
of God, lest
any root of bitterness spring up, troubles
you,
and thereby many be defiled. Keep reading. Go ahead, Tom. Read some more.
Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat stole his birthright.
Here's a fornicator who didn't commit adultery. He fornicated in another realm. You see what I'm driving at? So this adulterous term and fornication term is more than just going to bed with the wrong person. This is in addition, here's Esau, who had a birthright and sold it. Looking diligently lest any man, any lady here, any person, fail of the grace of God. Don't do it. Lest any root of bitterness. Oh, surely, Lord. Bitterness? I mean, after all, isn't that what all denominations are made of? They're bitter at the one they came out of or the one that came out of them. For it's the story of denominations. The whole story of the whole church realm has been one group, bitter, another group, division, split. Then what do you do? Yeah, you usually have at least a half year sermons every year on why we came out of that group. And the other half year is what's wrong with the group that came out of us. Now, you know I'm telling the truth. They're just an awful lot. All right, if you're Methodist, you have plenty of sermons on why you don't have to immerse. If you're a Baptist, you got plenty of sermons on why you got to go all the way, brother, all. Get wet all the way. Now, what are you doing? It's bitterness, fights among each other, spirits of bitterness. Even being bitter, a bitter spirit. What do you lose?
Righteousness and peace.
Your birthright?
Your birthright?
Your birthright? And tell the truth. Every person here has been an Esau. Come on now. We've lost our birthright. We've sold parts of our righteousness and our peace and our joy for a bitter spirit. We've sold parts of our righteousness by working out our own righteousness, by being sure to work and work and work and work and never miss a meeting, and you know what I'm talking about, and it goes on. You can make a list a mile long of our righteousness instead of Jesus. Are losing our peace because we're mad because the last time we went through there so-and-so didn't speak to us. We lose our peace. Or we get mad and lose our joy. That birthright's gone. And that's fornication. See it right there in verse 16? It's putting yourself where you shouldn't be. Verse 16. Now, if nobody's mad, I want to say it again. I called you all fornicators. And you say, wow, you know, I look like you ought to get up and stomp out of here. But you know I'm telling the truth. For it's a spiritual fornication to lose your birthright. To lose your righteousness, your peace, or your joy. We've got to have it. We've got to come into it. All right.
What about the next verse where he said it? I don't know place of repentance, so he
sought
it carefully with tears.
He sought it from who? He sought it not from God, but from Isaac. Was it Isaac?
Mm-hmm.
Jacob.
Yeah,
Isaac. Yeah, he saw it from Isaac. He saw the change from Isaac and from his brother. Right? And he didn't get it. But through Jesus Christ, now Jesus Christ is my righteousness. Jesus Christ is my peace. Jesus Christ is my joy. So that seeking my righteousness through Jesus Christ, I can get it. But if I seek it through myself, or from Isaac, or from from Jacob, from my brother Jacob, or from someone else, I'm not going to get it. Now this may shock you, but you don't get your peace with each other because it takes brotherly love, give and give. If there's trouble with you, with brothers and sisters, you find peace with God. You straighten it out in yourself. That'll bring you your peace.
with LNG, get that thing
right. Right. That has to come after you get it straight out with God, though. Okay. Against thee only have I sinned and committed this evil in thy sight. You remember David? What did he do? He just killed Uriah, just had adultery with Bathsheba, and he says, against thee only have I done this evil. And look at that. Psalm 51. So we get straightened out there first. And then the other things, the works of the flesh, get straightened out among ourselves. Take not the Holy Spirit from me. Restore the Holy Spirit to me. Remember the story?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a relationship, first with God, straighten it out, get yourself straightened out. Now you got your righteousness, peace, and joy back. Then you can do stuff with each other. But how can you get straightened out with each other when you're all mad? You got to know, you know, communication cut off up here. Right? Now, I got three scriptures that I want to compare. Ephesians 5:5, Revelation 11:15, and Revelation 22:15. This is a list of bad things, and it says, if you do these, you hath not, or whoever does these, hath not inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. That's in 5:5. In Revelation 11:15, it says, the kingdoms, plural, of our Lord and of his Christ. Now this is inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. This is Lord and Christ, or we call it God and Christ. Now the timing for this event is in Revelation 11:15, which is the seventh trumpet. Remember the story of the seventh trumpet? Now there'll be no whoremonger. Now the word for whoremonger is that same porno or porny or fornicator or pornographic in any way. You see what I'm driving at here? It's more than committing the act, it's pornographic in any way. Or unclean person was an impure person, and an impure person is one who's got a foreign object. A covetous man is one who wishes to have more. Wow. All you gotta do is wish you had more. Come on, tell the truth. Every time you start wishing you had more, what do you lose? Okay. Are you getting tired?
For the concluding part of this message by David Ebaugh, entitled The Kingdom of God, please stop your machine and turn this cassette over.